And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let us bow our hearts in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, open our ears so that we may hear your word for us today. Open our minds so we may ponder their significance in our lives. Open our eyes so that we can see the wonder and beauty of your creation all around us. But Father, most of all, open our hearts. Dwell in them and set them on fire so that we may live according to your word. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today in the book of Acts, as we follow along with the apostles and the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ in the season of Easter, we basically have the conclusion of what we started from Luke last Sunday, with Peter healing the beggar in the portico of Solomon on the Temple Mount. And, of course, that continues. It isn't just there that Peter gives his sermon, and we heard part of that sermon last Sunday. And here in John's Gospel, we get to hear an extension of that sermon as Peter and the apostles who are with him are brought before Annas and Caiaphas, the high priest, the Sanhedrin, and all the elders of Israel, and they're being, well, at first imprisoned, and then held to account by what name they make this miracle happen on the Temple Mount. So again, we hear Peter giving witness to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And he is as bold before the Sanhedrin and the high priest as he was in Solomon's portico, as he gave an account to all people gathered in the temple that day. All people that were gathered and heard the gospel announced and presented so clearly and with conviction and with, of course, we learned last Sunday, with great courage. It took a lot of courage to stand there and witness that Jesus was crucified by the people of Jerusalem, by those who were leading at the time. All were responsible for the death of Jesus. And he boldly proclaims this, but then he proclaims that in the name of Jesus, healing has come into the land of Israel. As an example, of course, is the beggar at the portico. He is just an example because he is healed in the name of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And so Peter just continues this before the Sanhedrin. Now, why would he be in front of the Sanhedrin? Well, doesn't take a whole lot of guessing to figure that out. When one reads in the book of Acts what happens on that day, as Peter boldly proclaims the risen Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion for their sin and his resurrection for their eternal hope. As he proclaims this, many hear. How many hear? Well, we hear the number today, 5,000 men. That normally means, when the scriptures say 5,000 men, that normally means an awful lot more than just 5,000, as we saw when Jesus fed the 5,000 in Galilee on the Sermon of the Mount. Same thing happens here. There are over 5,000 who hear and come to believe. And I think it's this, that people are hearing and believing in the witness of these apostles and the courage and the boldness with which they speak and present the gospel to the people. It is this that they hear, and it is this that frightens the leaders of Israel the Sanhedrin and the high priests, the numbers that hear and then follow. And that is key. But it's just a fulfillment of the gospel that we have today from John's gospel. It's just a fulfillment of what Jesus himself said to the apostles, that he is the good shepherd. And, of course, that he laid his life down for the sheep. That is what the good shepherd does. And the sheep hear his voice, and they follow him. We hear the good shepherd, and we follow. This is exactly what happens in Solomon's portico. They hear, these 5,000 men, hear the good shepherd, and they follow. But what does it mean to hear the good shepherd? Did Jesus appear in the portico? And did he present the sermon? Did he give witness to the gospel? No. It was Peter who stood among them and presented the gospel to the people. It was Peter's voice, not the voice of Jesus. So what does Jesus mean when he says, the sheep hear my voice and they follow? What is the voice of Jesus that came from Peter on that auspicious day? What is the voice of Jesus that continues to gather the sheep today? Is it my voice? Your voice? What is the voice of Jesus? The Holy Spirit and the gospel. The gospel proclaimed by the Holy Spirit, which of course is in all believers, in you and in me. When we share the good news of the gospel, Jesus crucified for our sins, the price paid for our sins, and his resurrection from the dead. When we present this gospel through the Holy Spirit, empowered in each one of us, as the Holy Spirit was in Peter on that day, the voice of Jesus is proclaimed. Even though it is literally the voice of Peter on that day, or your voice when you share the gospel, or my voice as I share the gospel each and every Sunday morning. The voice of the good shepherd is the proclamation of the gospel through the Holy Spirit. And it's something that God has given and empowered to Peter as he speaks so powerfully, and over 5,000 hear and start to follow and begins to shake the confidence of the high priesthood and the leaders of Israel in Jerusalem. That same spirit and proclamation of the gospel continues as the voice of Jesus down through the centuries to today. And you have the voice of Jesus through the Holy Spirit given to you in your baptisms and through your words as you share the gospel with other people. It is only through those who are blessed with the Holy Spirit and share the gospel that the voice of Jesus is even announced in the world today. So, in essence, today, you are the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it is through your voice, through your sharing of the gospel, through the Holy Spirit that is entrusted to each one of you, that others hear the Good Shepherd. And as they hear the Good Shepherd, they need to make that decision themselves through the Holy Spirit that hopefully comes with you as you proclaim the gospel. And if they hear the voice of Jesus, they turn and they follow. They come. And they come because of your witness through the Holy Spirit that Christ crucified has given you your salvation, has saved you from your sins, that you have heard the voice of the Good Shepherd as you share the gospel, and that you yourself have turned and come to believe that his death has paid your price, and now you have that eternal hope in his resurrection, the coming kingdom of God, and our resurrection. It is this hope proclaimed by you through the Holy Spirit that is in you that brings the voice of Jesus to others. And when they hear that voice, they have a chance to follow the Good Shepherd. It's not because of our greatness. It's not because of anything that we say other than the gospel. But it is because Christ and him crucified that people come and follow the Good Shepherd. So we have become, the church has become the voice of the Good Shepherd. We proclaim the gospel, and it is here that we live out that gospel. And it is our voice and our living together that now proclaims the good news. In essence, we have become here the voice of the Good Shepherd. And we need to ask ourselves today, all of us right now, how are we proclaiming that voice? How are we living the gospel out among us together this morning? That's what John challenges his congregations in the epistle today. John does exactly that. He says that you must bear the witness of the gospel out into the world, and you must live out that gospel together in community. That's his challenge when he says to the Christian churches to whom he writes. We have to remember again that John is writing not to Gentiles, not to people who don't know the gospel, but he's writing to the churches that he is an overseer or a pastor of. And he is reminding them that they together give witness and voice. They are the voice of the Good Shepherd. And it is through their voice that others hear and follow the Good Shepherd. And he reminds them of that. He reminds them of that beginning first with how they are living out community together. How are they living the gospel in a way that proclaims good news to others? And he does that by first reminding them that if they have means to help and see a brother, in other words, a brother or sister in Christ in the community, and are of no help, then they have no voice. But if they come beside their brothers and sisters, and they are able to help, and they do help one another, they become the voice of the gospel. In other words, it's how we live together in this community that gives witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. How is it we care for one another? How is it that we meet one another's needs when one has a need in our community? These are questions we always have to ask ourselves if we are to be the voice of the Good Shepherd in the world today. Because it is through our living that people see the gospel alive today. If we are fractured, if we are apart, if we don't show that care and love for one another, then we give a false witness to the world. But unified together, if we are there for one another, if we are encouraging one another, if we speak positively about each other, and if we meet one another's needs, then people will see and hear the voice of the Good Shepherd among us. So that voice is our voice. That witness is our witness of the gospel through our words and our living. And we have been given that power. We have been given that power through the Holy Spirit, as Leanna noticed and obviously proclaimed as well. We are given that power to speak the gospel and to live it out. And so it's something that we need to ask ourselves here in this place at Calvary. How are we doing that? How are we sharing the voice of the Good Shepherd? Can people come here on a Sunday morning, hear that voice? When they come here, do they see it lived out among us on a Sunday morning? And then on Monday, are we taking the gospel that we hear and that we share together this morning, are we taking it out into the world and boldly proclaiming, just like Peter, because we have the same power of the Holy Spirit that he had, are we giving witness and giving voice to the Good Shepherd when we leave each and every week? These are the questions that we're left with. And that's the challenge that we have in living out the gospel. The Good Shepherd is heard through you and through me, by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, by what we say and share the gospel, and by how we live together. And so we must listen to the challenge, proclaim the gospel, so others that are outside of here, just as Jesus observed, may hear and know who the Good Shepherd is. So let us live that out in love among ourselves and in the power of the gospel through the Holy Spirit as we leave this place this morning. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.